Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I am short.
Big O! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
I don't put out as regularly.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like heat.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1084 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And Joel's going to be showing up. He's a little late. He's working out his calf muscle, just one of them. He's got a leg like the arm of Popeye, and the other one is like olive oil. Anyway, so like I said before I started the show, I got a little beef with the Chinese, as you all know. Obviously, unless you're living under a rock, DeepSeek was unveiled this week to a lot of like, holy shit, you just destroyed the stock market and NVIDIA, apparently. But I had heard it runs on commodity hardware, right? You don't need this big beefy data center. So I was like, all right, I'm in. I'm going to check this out, right? So I looked up some tutorials on running it under Arch Linux and Ollama and DeepSeek pair well together. I started with the developer set of data, which was only 8 gigs. The other one was like 404 gigs. I didn't have the space for that. So I'm like, come on, 8 gigs? I got that space, man. I had that thing up and running and ready to go in like less than 15 minutes. And that was including downloading everything and installing it. I was ready to go. And guess what happened, Dave?
I don't know, Dan.
It said, you don't have enough memory to run this. You need at least 10 gigs and you only have 8 free. And I'm like, oh, come on. I thought I was supposed to run on commodity hardware. So I was like, how much do I have in there? I was like, I have 16 gigs in this laptop. Obviously it's a laptop. So the GPU is, I think, shared memory from the RAM in here, and then all the stuff. So it was like, of the 16 gigs, 8 were available. And I was like, ah, that sucks. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I have a couple of these laptops. Maybe I could steal the memory from one, the one that's broken, and put it in here. Cause I'm thinking maybe it only has one RAM chip in there and a space for another one. So I pop open the one that's broken and I see, oh, it's 2 8 gig RAM chips for the 16 gigs. So that doesn't do me any good either. I was a little bummed there.
That you couldn't free up any memory? You had to have 10 free?
I had to have 10 free and I was at 8. So I didn't really have anything running on this laptop. Like right now, I don't have anything running and like I have, oh yeah, so it's telling me I have 3-4 gigs free right now. So it's got 16, it's using 7, I think 2 gigs,
Use 7 right now?
That's a good question. Let's find out. What's using all my memory?
Chrome and the 47 tabs you have open.
Yeah, if you could have closed your browser, you might could have run it.
Xorg is using 19%. I wonder if I close Firefox, I'm not using Chrome, and I close Thunderbird.
I bet that frees it up. I mean, I'm looking at a computer with 8 gig of RAM, and I'm using 2.48.
Yeah, supposedly, you can even run that AI on a Raspberry Pi. It's a different version, but still.
Yeah, I just it told me I needed 10 gigs, and I'm having a hard time freeing up enough because I think like at least 2 are being used for the graphics processor, and I'm only getting 6 gigabytes free, and it's using 5 gigabytes somewhere else. And where is it using the rest of this? Oh, it's probably using. I'll have to keep futzing around with it. But anyway, I was going to check it out, but I have to wait. Got to do some bucking around with it, right? Right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Help keep Thunderbird alive. Donate. Oh, every so often that damn thing is going down. Do you want to get rid of it? Why? Anyway, that not much at work. Still just doing deletions and all a bunch of other crap. Fun stuff. Oh, you know we did get to do doing a lot of Terraform work, helping out the guy that I work closely with. He migrated our notifications service, which was a Node application using WebSockets that would subscribe people to a notification service when they were opening stories and stuff so that people would know when a story, if they were in a story that somebody else had opened, that it would keep them apprised of who had it open and who was actually actively working, stuff like that. It used to be running in a container. He switched it over to Fastly's compute service, which is basically just they provide on their edge services a framework kind of like, I guess, Lambda or Google's Cloud Functions or whatever, or containerized applications that would run. So they had WebSocket support on that, and he migrated that over there, so we got it all set up in Terraform for deploying that. And that, boy, I'll tell you what, we made a lot of mistakes initially setting up our Terraform for everything else and trying to understand how the Terraform commands worked with Fastly, and there was an assumption made. I think it was, I wasn't involved in originally setting it up. It was somebody else had set that up before I joined that team, this team I'm on now. So I just took it for granted that that's how it worked, and they had it completely wrong. And so yeah, it was a lot of head scratching yesterday for about 2 hours before we got it all hammered out, figured it out. Like how the hell does this ever work? And kind of like pretty self-evident after that. And so we got it fixed, and everything's happy, and that was a lot of fun. Well, anyway, you wanted to talk about Proxmox, Joe?
Well, yeah, just for a minute. I got HP. The ProDesk 600. The G3? Model, I think, and well, currently it has 8 gigs of RAM. I do plan on fixing that, but I installed Proxmox on it just to test things out and see how I liked it, because I liked Portainer. So initially, like when I installed, I had tried downloading the 8.3 version, and then I tried using Ventoy to install it, and evidently you can't install Proxmox using Ventoy. So then I tried installing it using, or just bare bones, you know, copy it to a USB using Etcher. And that didn't work either, but it turned out that USB card was bad. But I didn't know that at the time, so then I ended up installing like 7.4 and tried to follow the upgrade path. and the upgrade path didn't work. But after I switched out the USB, grabbed 8.3 and installed it, it's up and running, and I'm really happy with how it's turned out so far. I have installed Portainer, and I did install Pi-hole. That's the only thing that I've currently installed on it. Like, this is the last 2 days that I've done this. So Pi-hole is currently the only thing installed on Portainer, but I also, on Proxmox, installed a VM of Linux Mint, with nothing else installed on it yet either, but I'm working on that too. And yeah, I'm really happy with being able to use that in conjunction with Dex and get a, while away from home, get a full screen experience of remote into a Mint machine with that is basically dedicated to my phone.
So, that's cool.
Quite happy with that. And then I am going to see if I can migrate my other VM over to there. I'm almost done with my 10-inch network rack. It's got a spot built for that HP computer. And then it's got a spot built for my router, or my switch, actually. And then... it's got a shelf where I'm going to put the Raspberry Pis that I can find, and it's got a 3U slot made to hold 6 hard drives, but since I'm also going to be using some 2.5-inch hard drives instead of just the 3.5-inch hard drives, I've made some adapters so that 2 of those will fit in those slots. And so I can technically hold up to 12 drives, but... and I might eventually put like 12 in there because I can use 8 on my main machine with the SAS cable adapters that I have. And then 4 I can hook to the HP with, well, I'll have to get either a, M.2 AE adapter or an M.2M adapter to hold like 4 drives. That will be interesting and fun.
I got 2 questions. You say you made the adapters for the 2.5-inch drives to fit in the caddies?
Well, it's all 3D printed. So it's just okay. Like I took an SDL and modified it. And so 2 will now fit in there. And then I had to readjust the back plate so that you could still access the ports. But it came out really well. And it fits on there great. So it's like barely a modification. It was really someone else's STL.
Okay. I didn't even think of that. I've got my, my Amazon shopping cart, 2.5-inch adapters for like caddies and my Power Edge. I didn't think about printing them.
Yeah, 3D print them.
Okay.
I know the adapters are like $6 and they usually hold 1. You can find an STL, it costs like, 5 cents in plastic, and it'll hold 2 in the same space.
Heck yeah. But the other question was, what's the difference between, Proxmox and, Portainer?
Proxmox is an OS built around a hypervisor. So it will not only run, Portainer as an LXC or as, or you can run it within a VM, but it'll also run VMs.
Gotcha.
So, and it, any VM that you make is now accessible from the web page because, there's no GUI. It's all, based on accessing it from a web page. So it has, a thing called NoVNC. And the VM will run, and you can view it from the web page.
It's cool. Is the performance good?
It's great so far. I mean, I only have those 2 things running, and they're not doing a whole lot. But it's only using a couple of gigs of RAM. So actually, I'm wrong. Right now, it says it's using 5.991 gig of my 7.64 gig available. So I've already ordered the 32 gigs of RAM for it, and that should make it nice.
Cool. I mean, I've heard of that, just never looked into it.
Yeah. I wanted to learn it, so I grabbed it. And like I said, it is running Portainer, but Portainer is accessible from its own IP address instead of like the VM being accessible from inside Proxmox, the Proxmox window. Portainer has its own address, and then Portainer created the Pi-hole, and then Pi-hole has its own port on that same address.
Cool.
Yeah. And I will, if I get hard drives hooked up to it, I'm going to see about moving some of the things that run on my garage computer onto that. Not that I think it'll do a better job, I just will enjoy the process.
Now, I know I talked about this last week, and I can't remember if you've installed it yet. It may not even be necessary with Proxmox, but I'm really enjoying Watchtower. I mean, the fact that I think I've got...
Yeah, I'm probably going to install...
I think or 11 Docker images running right now, and they all just stay up to date. It checks it every 24 hours and updates it as necessary.
I think I will probably install Watchtower on my Portainer, along with Jellyfin.
Yeah.
But I have to, because like most of my hard drives are hooked up to my other computer, I'm going to see if I can do like a network share and have that accessible and see how well that works, or if I need to take apart my server and pull out those drives and move everything over there and see how I can make things accessible that way. See if I can do a network share in the other direction.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned last week I couldn't get that embedded audio player to work on my webpage.
Yes, what happened?
What happened was it was just weird. Bottom line is that my Icecast server had to be HTTPS. That fixed it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Portainer. I mean, I have to go in and manually type https://, for it to say this doesn't have, you know, encryption, and then accept the risk.
Yeah. Now, what I ended up doing, I mean, is Icecast needs one file that for the certification. It doesn't need, like, Let's Encrypt, you got two. You got the full key and the private key PIM files. I found online someplace, you just cat both of those files into one file, put it someplace Icecast can see it, and it solved the problem.
That's cool.
And speaking of that, and speaking of cool stuff, you know, the reason I got the audio player on my webpage is because I'm serving over 300,000 mod files, Amiga, mods, S3M files, this old chiptone kind of crap music. Dead Beef, the audio player is amazing. The fact that it can read all those obscure files from zip archives and add that to a playlist that's over 300,000 songs long and not barf. It doesn't crash. It's just amazing to me. I don't know of another audio player that can handle that kind of playlist load. I don't know what would happen if you tried to put 300,000 songs in any other audio player.
You have 300,000 songs to put in there?
I do.
It's all death metal, right?
No, it's all old Amiga files and Commodore 64 music files. It's mod files. They're old chiptune music files.
Cool.
How much space does that take up?
139 gig.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you listen to it all the time?
I play it all the time on my webpage. I mean, you can listen to it all the time if you want to. It's 552 days worth of music.
Oh. Wait, what is it on lotofLinuxLinks.net?
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. We're having trouble finding that site. lotofLinuxLinks.net, right?
No, .com. .com, I'm sorry.
Oh. Welcome to the modcast again.
Yeah, this that explains what I had to do to get it working. Just at the top, just click on modcast. I'm not plugging this. I'm just saying that Dead Beef is awesome, and I got the ice cast problem solved. So,
look at that. I'm listening to it right now.
Isn't that cool?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, well, some of them are pure crap. But some of them are actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is cool. All right. That's nice. Good job, Dave. Did you use Let's Encrypt for your certificate?
On my Apache web server, I did. But what I did is I took the search, because I'm serving that from the same, from lotofLinuxLinks.com, just a different port. I just took those certs and combined them and put them under one file, bundle.cert, and told Icecast where to find it, and it worked.
Easy peasy, right?
Yep. Everything else is on a reverse proxy. I think I've got four subdomains on a cert now. I don't know.
There you go. And then you just run that certbot command to update them?
Well, there's Debian has a hook that updates it for me.
Uh-huh.
And that's the coolest thing, was I could just add in the post, I think it's a post hook. After it updates, I told it to combine those two files and restart Icecast, so it updates Icecast now too. Yeah, but you set it up in Debian, it will auto-renew for you.
Oh, that's nice. I just run mine manually.
I was doing that, and I ended up with duplicate certs, and one for three sites and one for four, and the one for three I needed to get rid of, and that seemed a little dangerous at the time, but it was pretty easy.
That's pretty cool, Dave.
It does take a while to load a playlist that big into Dead Beef. It takes, you know, 4 or 5 minutes for it to start. But once it starts, it doesn't crash, and it just works.
Oh, I got to step away for a minute. I'll be right back.
Okie doke.
A few minutes.
That's all.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at this page for Proxmox VE helper scripts. And it was recommended to me by my brother, and it is actually pretty cool. I mean, that's where I had installed Portainer from, a Docker from with Portainer. And then you can also install like Nextcloud and an LXC, and what Audio Bookshelf is on here.
Yeah.
And MB Media Server, Jellyfin is on there, Plex. Yeah. It's all there, and you. The script just makes it so easy to install. I mean.
Yeah, the only thing I've migrated is, I guess on my seed box, SABNZBD and, SickChill and, what else? QBitTorrent. I was running that, I guess, bare metal, but I've moved those to Docker containers. But Plex and Jellyfin and Audio Bookshelf, I still have bare metal.
Yeah, well, I have Audio Bookshelf bare metal on my main computer, but I was thinking about moving it to a Docker instance.
Yeah, I thought about moving some stuff because, you know, it makes reinstalling or redeploying a whole lot easier.
yeah, as long as you can save the config.
Yeah, I mean, my Nextcloud install was probably the most complicated thing I've ever done, and I hope it never goes south. I mean, I back it up.
Right. It's such a pain.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a clear good case for Docker right there.
And I'm thinking about installing Home Assistant and seeing how I can integrate that with what I already have with my Alexa.
Yeah, that looks cool too. I mean, I've got only thing I have smart home ish is my Govee lights on my TV, but that would be a good excuse to add some stuff. My son-in-law, I think he's running Home Assistant and he's got some stuff. But
well, I've picked up, like, you know, when I see them on sale and stuff, I pick up either light sockets or the plugs that have the smart features and things like that. But it's kind of dependent on Amazon maintaining, and I know that it's not making them the money that they hoped, so who knows how long it'll be there for. So,
yeah.
There he is.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah, freaking Mumble was playing games with me, and my headset just wouldn't work. Until I ran it as root for some reason, so at least I know what I need to do to fix it. Maybe.
Sounds like the sky just opened up outside.
No. Yeah, about 7 o'clock, my phone decided to just light on fire. And I was on a call until about half hour ago-ish.
Oh, the last 3 days at work have just been torture, man. I show up at 7:30. I get done at like 6.
That really sucks.
Yeah, and the whole time on calls trying to fix production issues. And I'm supposed to be helping out this other team get all their stuff sorted, but I haven't been able to focus on them this week to get them up to speed. So guess it'll have to be next week.
Yep.
But I was able to get on a call with them today and some of the other teams and find out who we need to contact about some of the information that we haven't been getting for the last month.
Now I'm trying to figure out how to turn off the stupid little whoops whenever I press the button.
So we should just start pasting text into into Mumble since we know that you don't have the text-to-speech turned off yet?
No, it's not text-to-speech. It's just that every time I press the button...
which means none of your settings are there, which means you haven't turned off text-to-speech.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible human being. I am aware.
Yeah, well.
But we were talking about Proxmox and Portainer. And obviously we were talking about my 10-inch rack again.
Damn, son.
Now, if we were talking about my chest, that would be like 44. 6.
Great.
Surprised that Thunderbolt didn't frickin' pick up on my mic.
Well, at least it was over above freezing for a few days during the day. So,
and it's going to stay that way here.
Most of the sidewalks are nice and clean, thankfully.
It's going to be 75 degrees here Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be in the 70s like next week. And I love it.
I like it cold.
Well,
nah.
You're allowed to be wrong.
Just an excuse to stay inside.
No, that's when it's cold.
That's what I'm saying.
To stay inside.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
under 16 heated blankets. But it makes it difficult to lift weights. Makes it a lot harder on the joints.
Yeah.
God, it sucks getting old.
I can vouch for that.
So, yep. How's the weight loss journey going, Joel?
247 as of this morning. I've been kind of plateaued again, mostly because, and we had the two
coming
teammates
up on my weight real quick.
Yeah, we had the teammates for Luke that Luke's bowling with down in Louisiana come over last weekend, and Joel ordered 2 14-inch pizzas, and Joel ate a shit ton of pizza, and I gained some weight, but I lost it all since then. But it's just
One night of indulgence is not going to undo all of your work.
Correct.
It's the indulgence day over day over day that is the problem. So,
also correct.
So if you screw up one day and you down an entire pizza, it's not that big a deal.
Well, I didn't down the whole pizza, but you know, but then of course we had leftover pizza for like 2 days, so which is unusual.
Look, most places, if you get like their, I think it's either the medium or the large, I can't remember, but Hawaiian like thin crust pizza, it's about 2,000 calories. I can fit a 2,000 calorie pizza into my diet.
I can't all the time.
Speaking of pizza, yesterday I ate two slices of pizza from a pizza place that I've never eaten at before, but it happens to be the nation's largest pizza chain with 9,703 locations. And I think every one of them are in gas stations. Hunt Brothers Pizza, you ever had that?
Yeah,
it's the biggest. It's the biggest chain.
Oh no, come and go.
I was impressed, I guess. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I think it's better than Little Caesars.
I kind of agree with you.
That's not difficult.
No, it's not difficult. There's a gas station between church and home that has that, you know, that they have that Hunt Brothers. And I've stopped in and grabbed a slice.
I think if you go to a location that's turning them over and you get them fresh, it's better. And this one had just come out of the oven. I mean, it was good stuff. I mean, it was plenty good. It wasn't the best pizza by a long shot, but it was very good.
Yeah.
This was the pizza I had over the weekend was from our local pizza joint by the name of Tammy's. And it hit the spot as it usually does. But now today, Joel was a good boy. Although Luke's at class right now still, taking his automotive class, and he's by himself. So me and the wife have the house to ourselves. So I looked at the wife after I got off work the first time and said, "What do you want for dinner? You just want to fend for yourself?" So she said, "Yes." So I just grabbed another one of my Factor meals. If you haven't tried Factor yet, it's worth it, I think. Factor, if you're not sure what it is, it's run by the same people that run HelloFresh. But they're already made. So you just microwave them, and they're fresh. So they're not frozen. So today I had I think green chili. I'd have to look at my life some, but tonight I had it was broccoli and cauliflower was the vegetable. It was called Romano and black pepper shrimp pasta. And it was pretty good. And yeah, at lunch I had green chili queso and chicken pasta. And it was also good. So those, typically, I think the highest calorie one I've had so far has been right around 540. And the shrimp one I had today, which is really good, was about, 440. So,
what are you hitting a day calorie wise?
Oh, I am right around, I still have, now counting, I actually still have about 700 steps to go, but I burnt in
intake, what, not output.
I know. This all plays into it. Cause the more I'm using Life Sum to track, what I eat versus Noom. And every time I add exercise, it, you know, and it puts a burn, the burn, exercise. So I burnt 633 calorie in exercise alone. So it increases the amount that I can eat. So, right now I'm at 2600 for the day with, and according to Life Sum, I have 235 left. I don't know if I'm going to have anything else tonight. I might not. But it starts off today at 222.5. So, I'm still losing pretty well. You know, when I can't, you know, as long as I don't screw up, you know, I'll gain a pound or two when I do those screw ups, but it's been easily to get it back. It might take a day or two, but it's easy to get it back. So, if I'm sticking on it pretty well, then I usually don't have a problem losing too much. I'm right now looking at more, the gains of my body instead of the weight necessarily, although I would like to get down to at least, I'd like to get below 200 if possible. I'm looking at things like in Garmin, like it has a training load, versus, so it has an acute load and there's the load ratio. Okay. And there's basically the way it looks like it in the app is there's a green band. And if you're in that band, you're in the optimal range to maintain or improve your fitness. So, my load today is, my acute is 562. The chronic is 498. And if I look at into, the VO2 max, and this is actually impressing me actually, cause I'm not in the good range, but I'm in the fair range right now. So I'm actually not all that far from the good or the green range in there. So I'm at 38, and it also calculates your fitness age. Right now it's, my fitness age is 53, which is exactly what I am. So I'm still improving on all that. On all those things, I'm doing like, between 500 and 600 calories just in pure burn in between. And it depends on like one day this week I had like 800 calories burnt with exercise because I did like two treadmills and weights that day.
You wanted that pizza.
Oh dude, I did. Well, I usually get pizza once a week, but I usually don't order that much because what I'll usually do, my wife doesn't eat it, which I don't know how you not eat pizza because pizza is delicious. But I'll usually get, from Tammy's, I'll get their 7-inch pizza and I eat half of it and Luke eats the other half. But then I'll also add to that, I'll add a, Italian sub and split that. So I'll have the half of it and Luke will have half of it because I love both those things. Those are like my favorite things to eat, from a that's made by pizza places. But so far, at least with the factor stuff, I'm really liking that. So that's like my lunch. I do six a week on that. So six meals a week. And I might have like, energy drink. I do protein powder in the morning, but I've also been eating a bagel along with that, low carb bagel, from Aunt Millie's. Really, I'll say relatively low carb because it's about, it's not like my brother would say, well, it's too many carbs, but I'm not going full on keto or what's the other thing?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Atkins or...
Damn it. I freaking love carbs. Okay. It tastes good.
It doesn't, it's all calories in, calories out. Carbs
exactly.
Don't matter.
Exactly.
But yeah. You know what does matter? Your sanity.
That's true.
Your
that's
happiness.
Mm-hmm. Carbs
are brain food. You need them.
Well, it says protein's far more important too than I've ever really realized. Cause I do know, like if I eat protein, like keep my, what is my, my protein today so far was...
Protein helps with satiety. Protein helps build muscle. Protein takes more energy to digest.
Lifesum says I should eat 143 grams and I ate 177 today. It's cause I have like a protein bar sitting up here. I also got, if you haven't tried the Questa muffins yet, you should. They're really good. My only suggestion on those, if you get those, is to microwave them for about 10 seconds and they're even better.
Lather them in peanut butter.
Well, you could do that too, but I actually did really, well, it helps that I have the Nutter Butter protein powder, which is just, that's my jam. I love that stuff. It's way better than if you just tried PB2 because there's cookies in it. Cookie bits in
it. Yeah, but are you just doing it as like a protein shake?
All I do is 6 ounces of water in my shaker cup. I'll do one scoop of the protein, of the Nutter Butter, Ghost Nutter Butter Whey Protein. And I also add collagen to that too, Vital Proteins collagen. Because I read somewhere that that'll help with it, because my problem is I've lost so much weight that I've got that loose, flabby skin here and there, you know, that trying to tighten that skin up, you know, like under my chin and stuff like that, you know. But anywho, it goes well with that. And
you can cook with protein powder, right?
Yeah, I haven't tried anything with that one yet, although that would be a good one to try with. So I'm going to start looking stuff up with that too. But the worst part though with making, you know, like cooking at home is, and this is kind of one of the reasons why I did Factors, because I like different proteins. I can't eat beef all the freaking time. I mean, it's delicious and all.
You shouldn't eat beef all the time. You should.
Right. It's delicious and all, but I want to eat chicken. I want to eat pork, turkey, sometimes no meat at all. In fact, one of the meals I got in from Factor this week is a vegetarian tamale bowl. So
also the stuff that I cook it with either chicken or turkey.
Yep. I like chicken. I like turkey. I like beans too. I can't say this. I do not like the vegan protein powders. I much prefer
they're
the
hard
whey
to
ones.
Cook with. And yeah. If you're drinking them as a shake, they're extremely gritty and a little bit chalky.
I have some of the organic left. That one I can usually stomach, but I've been on the Ghost Protein. Plus, I did start entering, like, when you open your Ghost Protein, you get a little card in there, and you can, like, put in rewards and stuff. So at some point, they'll give me, like, a discount or a free shaker cup or something. I don't know. But where one of the things I was getting to is one of my coaches, the lady coach, last year during when I was on the Mammoth March, I get about halfway and she's texting me because that's about where the phone started to pick up texts, you know, along the trail. And basically that's when I told her, I said, hey, I'm dropping out. I don't have the energy to go. But then she texted me and said,
don't be a bitch.
No. She's like, she was so proud of me for going that far. So, and she said that next year she's going to do it with me. Well, come January, like last week at boot camp, she was like, I think I'm going to do it. And I'm like, well, I wasn't, and she was going to do the one we did last year, which I hadn't signed up for yet. I said, yet. Guess what I did? I'm signed up for 3 of the damn things this year. So I got 3 Mammoth Marches on the calendar right now. The main reason I told her I wasn't sure was I'm going on a mission trip to McAllen with my church. In fact, I got a meeting about
McAllen,
that Sunday.
Texas?
Yes, sir. It's going to be nasty. There's a lot of help. They need a lot of help down there. So,
I just saw a recruitment offer for a job in McAllen, Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The only thing is we're going in August, so it's going to be hotter than Hades. So, yeah.
It's going to be a little warm.
Yeah, so, but it winds up that, the Mammoth March is on August, that Mammoth March is on August 2nd, and that mission trip is not till the 9th. So, yeah, I'm doing it. And I'm going to do it with her. And I actually found out, one of our former pastors, he's a lead pastor down at the Wellston Church of the Nazarene. He may be doing it too. So we got a bunch of people that are going to be doing this. I kind of started something doing this last year in my church. So, and so we'll see. It'll be fun. She's never did anything like this before, but she is a beast. What I need to do is I need to find a video of her. I was able to find videos of her doing powerlifting. And she was a beast. She's like doing like 400 pound, deadlifts and stuff. So I got some YouTube videos I can pass along. It's pretty interesting. She's not that at that level right now, but she's still, I mean, she is, she's one of the ones getting me to push me to do all these things. Like, last week we did an AMRAP with, I'm trying to think. I thought there was three things in the AMRAP.
For people that don't know, AMRAP is as many reps as possible.
Yes, and as many sets. So one of them was, okay, there's push-ups. There was burpees. And there was one other. I can't remember the other one. Maybe it was jumping jacks. I think it was jumping jacks, yeah. So jumping jacks, burpees, and push-ups. So it was 5 burpees, 10 push-ups, and 15 jumping jacks. All right. And as many sets for like 4 minutes. So you just repeat all those exercises. And then, dude, I did all the damn burpees and I didn't wuss out on the push-ups until the next to last set. I did them girly style, but then I picked up and did them regular in the last set that I did, but. The fact that I did burpees at all is a freaking miracle. So, the bear claw, taps, those I'm struggling to do with. And so basically you're supposed to be on your toes and your knees like close to the ground and you reach out to tap a weight or a spot out in front of you. All right. My problem is staying on my toes, you know, not dropping to my knees on that one. Now let's try not, if we do those, this week, tomorrow, I'm going to try to do those normal. But the fact that I can do burpees at all is just amazing.
Well, you'll probably have to build those ankles up.
I need to do that anyway. So, but my leg workout this week, again, I've been crushing 400 pound leg presses, 400 pound calf extensions. And I did like 150 on the leg extension machine, I did 150, up that to 170, then I did 190 on that.
I was just doing leg extensions.
Yeah, I'm not, the one I struggle with more is leg curls. I'm about 150 on the leg curls, but the leg things are the things that are going to help me. I want to start doing, I've found a couple videos. I need to do some,
well, you're right and you're wrong.
Well,
because your legs are proportionally the largest muscles in your body. So
yeah,
if you're working them, then you're actually burning the most amount of calories.
Right. And I do uppers. So, I mean, I do upper body too. So I'm trying to do as much of that and get my upper body stronger too, because that'll help when I'm pulling myself up the rock scrambles and stuff. But, which there will be some.
Can you do a pull-up yet?
That is something I'm working towards.
Bands? Are you doing banded pull-ups?
No, I'm not doing those yet.
Are you doing pull-downs?
No. Well, lap pull-downs. I do lap
yeah.
pull-downs. Yeah, I do lap pull-downs. Yeah.
Well, lap pull-downs are building you up to do pull-ups.
The pull-ups, right. Yeah. And one thing I'm trying not to do on the lap pull is using my body momentum to help pull shit down. I'm trying to stay sitting straight up when I'm doing the pull downs and just use my arms, That's actually harder than I thought. But I think I'm right about 140, 150, somewhere around there.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, are you doing rows?
No, I haven't done those yet.
Okay.
So, but I did find what I was saying though is I found some body weight exercises that I can do, and some of those are going to do at home, like step ups that will help with the trail and the hills. I'm starting to do when I get the time or when I just don't need to crush out steps. Like if I get a late, like go to the gym late and I don't have that many steps to go, what I'll do is I'll get on the treadmill, crank the incline all the way up to 15 and do my hiking pace. Lately though, I've been having to crush out 4,000 to 5,000 steps in the evening. So if I go to the gym, I've been just doing a flat out, run a little bit. Or like today after work, I have like a handful of steps to go, but I did like a 1.94 mile walk because I could finally do the loop I normally do and not have to dodge snow all the fucking time. But of course, towards the end of that, I had my work phone with me and I got pages. So, part of that, I ran a little bit of it. It says my max speed was 5.3 mile an hour. So, which I'm proud, it's probably the last half mile I ran quite a bit of it. It kind of sucks to run when it's freaking cold out. And it's warmer than it has been, but it's still cold. It's like,
oh, running when it's cold is the worst.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't suck in as much.
No, and if you got bad lungs like I do, it's awful.
Yeah.
And it hurts the joints more.
Yep.
Yes, that too. Yeah.
And your skin itches. If you're wearing anything like compression, you're tight.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh, I do.
Because I wore I got some Under Armour heat gear that I wore during the Hot Chocolate 5K, and it was actually probably right about where it is now. Although I only wore a fleece. So, and I was a little cold at the start, but you know, but about a mile in, I didn't give a shit. Cause I was hot then. But, so.
It was mainly my legs. When I was running, I wore shorts unless it was below 40.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was below 40 that morning cause November. So, but. Oh, speaking of that too, I did a 5K over the weekend on the treadmill, and I freaking beat my Hot Chocolate 5K time by a minute. So, and I was doing hills. I mean, it was probably the hill program I was on was probably real close to what I was seeing downtown when we were doing that race. The thing I need to start working on when I get the time is to do some longer runs. You know, try and get closer to the 10K that I need to run. In November, so we'll see. And I'm getting, like I said, getting stronger every day. And I'm seeing more of the physical things than the weight loss things. I could take off my shirt and I have abs now. Not real, real, real defined ones, but I have them. They're there, you know. And I'm starting to see things like my lats and stuff. I'm starting to see those when I'm in the mirror, you know, so, I'm seeing those kind of positive things. I went into Dick's Sporting Goods, the other day, and I was looking at the clearance racks and they had some Nike, shorts. I got some Stride ones, the ones with the liners in them. And I don't know what the other ones are. They're Nike brand, but they're like, definitely baggier than the other ones, but they're size large. I was wearing them. So, and I've been wearing size large shorts, at least from the Nike brand. I'm kind of in that weird place where some brands I have to wear XL or double XL. Others I can wear a large. It just, the same thing goes with a t-shirt.
If you get any of the Japanese stuff, you're going to be wearing like a 6XL.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Chinese stuff is all smaller, but
right.
Although the Nellis stuff, Nellis brand you see on Amazon, which is fairly popular on Amazon, those seem to be closer to American sizes. So, like, I have some tanks that I got from them, and those fit pretty good. So I just don't wear them now because it's too fucking cold. But I do, yeah. So I bought, like, two of those Nike Strides. In fact, I think I'm going to wear those tomorrow. And I got, like, three or four of the, like, I got one pair of XLs from Nike. And I could still wear them, but they are a lot looser than the larges are. So, but, and I did wear them, like, back in November. In fact, I still have them. I got some khakis to wear to that funeral, for the one pastor I knew that passed away. And, I was wearing 38. So, but, you know, those I know I can still wear. I mean, I haven't tried, 38 jeans, but we'll see. You know, I'm working on it. And like I said, positive things, you know, if I don't lose weight, if I feel stronger, if my weight, you know, if I can go up on the weights, that just feels good. It just does. So, but I am gradually wanting to, I do want to be able to do pull-ups at some point. I just got to find I just got to find the right rack over at Planet Fitness. I'd prefer one just a straight bar, but they don't seem to have those over there. So, you know, I'll find some, but yeah. I'd like to find a way to do some trap squats. That's one of the exercises, that,
a little easier on the spine.
Well, and they will help with, preparing your legs for the hikes. So yeah. That's one of the exercises they tell you to do, just plain old squats too, or the ones where you hold the, like a barbell on one end. What do they call those? Globe squats, I think they call those.
But, goblet squats?
I don't know. See, the thing is a lot of times everyone has different names for these damn things when I'm watching the videos. Right. You know. But.
Well, there's also front squats.
Yes. And do lunges. We do lunges quite a bit at boot camp.
Oh, do you do split squats?
Like Belgian ones? Those ones?
Bulgarian.
Yeah, Bulgarian split squats. Thank you. Yes. Haven't yet. But they look painful.
Well, they can be.
Yeah. I've been debating about, for the house, buying, Amazon Basics has just a straight up flat bench for like $40.
Check the weight rating.
Yeah.
Cause
let me look and see that.
Because a lot of your benches, their rating is like between like 375 and 425 pounds. I need one that's rated for over 500 pounds, because if I'm on the bench and I weigh 235 pounds and I'm benching 300 pounds. That's a lot of weight on that bench.
Oh, I agree. Let's see. The Amazon Basics flat weight bench is $43. And let's see. Weight limit 700 pounds.
There you go. That's so perfect.
So for what I need to do here.
Send me the link for that.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I mean, it's not a super big one. It's just, you know, one of the smaller ones.
Well, if it's a flat bench and it's not adjustable, then there's only certain things you're going to be doing with it. It doesn't need to be that big.
Correct. Correct. It'd be nice to, like, to sit when I'm doing, I could sit on the bench, like, when I'm doing some hammer curls or something, be a little bit more comfortable with standing.
Well, I wouldn't do hammer curls while seated, but I do isolation curls.
Right. Yeah. Or anything like that. The Bulgarian, this is what you would need to do, the Bulgarian splits. Now let's see if I can find a stupid share link.
Keep them things hidden. I got no doubt you'll get below 200, Joel. It's amazing what you've done.
Well, that depends on how hard you keep hitting the weights, too, because at a certain point, you might not want to get under 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you're what? You're 6 foot?
No, I'm 5'10".
5'10", close enough. Yeah. But, 180 is the optimal weight, but if you've got a crap ton of muscle, especially in your legs,
right.
Then at a certain point, losing more weight is unhealthy.
That's right. That's kind of the discussion I had with a coach at work. At a boot camp, I'm telling her, I told her, well, I kind of like to get down to about 170. She's like, or you could do 220 and be really ripped. And I'm like, I can accept that. you know, cause that's the things that I'm seeing most. I'm not seeing like the rapid weight loss like I saw last year. You know, and what?
That's got to slow down eventually. I mean,
it's already slowed down. So, but yeah, isn't that a good deal for that thing? It looks nice.
Yeah.
For $43, that's not bad. You know.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
And it's one of those things where I can like keep it over in the corner of my office or something, and you know, that's what I need to do. Is when I'm on calls and stuff, I just need to have my dumbbells up. Actually, I need to get heavier dumbbells. They only have 10s. I was over at Meijer the other day. They only had 15s. Looking at 12s. But.
Okay, yeah. They're expensive there, though. Keep your eye on Facebook Marketplace, especially in February.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. Or I could go, you know what, thrift store might be a good place to check, too.
Sometimes, but they sell out of those real quick.
Yeah. I'd like to get I'd love to have the whole rack like they have over at Planet Fitness, but.
Oh, and then you're paying through the goddamn nose.
Yeah, I know.
You're better off getting one of, for the price and the amount of space it takes off. You're better off getting one of those adjustable ones that are like $300 for each one. That's a lot cheaper than trying to get that full rack.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And it takes up a lot less space.
And they have Planet Fitness has Smith racks. I don't like them that much. I mean,
but if you look at the top of those Smith machines in the back, it's basically a pull-up bar.
Yeah. I'd have to get up on the bench. They do have pull-up ones, but I just got to figure out the right grip on those things in order me to feel comfortable.
They usually have the assisted pull-up thing there. You wouldn't even need bands.
Yeah, they do have that too, yeah. Yeah.
And those things, they should have a release lever on the side. So you can push it all the way down.
Yep.
And easily get your knees on it.
Yep. I learned something. This is something Dave may know. You know that very top set of holes on your shoes? You know what that's for, right?
What I use it for is lock lacing.
Heel lock.
Yeah.
Heel lock. So what you do is you have them laced up to where you normally, like if you just tie them, right? You know, then you take it and you put through the front of the shoe, the lace, all right? You do that on each side. Then you take the lace on the right side and you loop, run it through the loop that's on the left side and the lace that goes on the, you know, from the left side. Through the loop on the right and pull them tight and then tie them normally, right? And what that does is that if you have a little heel slip on your shoes, it prevents that. So I watched a video on that and I'm like, I started tying my shoes that way and I'm like, is that so different and it feels so good.
I tied my running shoes that way until I got this pair of,
lock.
Hey, what's the shoes you wear?
I have mostly ultras.
Yeah, okay. I got a pair of those, and the shoelaces were like short. They were actually too short to do that lock lacing.
I
got some of those
longer ones.
No, what's the kind that's got the they're elastic and it's got the lock pull on.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And those have been great. I only had like one pair of shoes, and they're ideal for those.
Now, there is a pair that I'm really jonesing to get from Ultra, the Mont Blanc Boa. Those literally have, like these laces that are built into them, and you have these dials and you twist them, and they have them in a trail version too, but they're like $200.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. But, and right now I have two pairs of Torrens in black, two pairs of Olympus Vias in blue, in the stone blue. I got, shit, I forget the orange ones. Those are, but, so I basically got three or four different sets of Ultras. And I've been kind of mixing them up. Every once in a while I'll pull the Torrens out and put those on. I prefer right now, especially walking, I like the Vias right now. I do need to line up, start saving up for my next pair of trail shoes because I only have one pair of trails and those are the Lone Peak Sevens. And I'm debating whether I get the Lone Peak Hikers, which have the upper on it, you know, that are more like, they're kind of like a combo of the trail runner and a hiking boot.
Yeah.
Just for those hikes. So we'll see. I don't know. I may grab a pair of those and a pair of like Lone Peaks just for the heck of them. They make a version of the Olympus with the Vibram soles on them for trails.
That's what so, I have.
Yeah. So that's what I need to look
I've had
for
the, I've actually had to glue the sole back together though.
I think it's time to turn the shoes in and get the new ones.
Yeah, they're not old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just, the roots were rough on them. The Vibram part just came loose from the softer rubber underneath. Just like a flap, but I glued it back and it's been fine.
I'm full in on the zero drop though. I really like the zero drop. You know, it's in fact, a lot of hiking videos I watch recommend the zero drop too. And I haven't found a pair of Ultras that I don't like yet at this point. Yeah, I may be okay with the Lone Peaks. You know, my biggest complaint on the Mammoth March was that the Lone Peaks didn't quite have enough pattern. But then I weigh 30 pounds less than I did during that hike. So
a lot of it's got to do with your arches and
yeah,
whether you pronate or supinate.
Yeah.
I got high arches and I run on the outside of – I wear the outside of my shoes out. So I have to have a lot of padding.
Yeah, I don't. Although I do, I have switched to, especially when I'm doing like effect on right now, I'm wearing the Amazon versions of the Ingenie toe socks, which these are the AO whatever they are. They're weird putting them on, but I've not gotten any blisters from doing longer things lately. So, of course, I haven't had time to do them, and it's been too freaking cold to do longer ones outside, but. But, it'll eventually go. I think some of my, I'm planning on going down to both Burr Oak and up to Cuyahoga to do some training there. I don't think I'll get a chance to go to Indiana to do some training there, but I am going to see if I can't find some, fairly hefty, hikes up here. The closest I can get, although they're not long enough, is, up at Owl Creek State Park, there's a trail called Rocks and Roots. And yeah, it's got plenty of those damn things on it. All right. But there's one section there where it's, at a stream crossing. The hills on either side of that are pretty damn steep. So, those might help. Yeah, I need to do much more hill training than I did last year.
I've not run since October. Me and my wife either won, and we're going to start back. I mean, I know we are because she won't leave it alone. She's going to make it happen. But the Olympics do really good on rocks and roots. I mean, where we run,
they do.
It is just full of those. Like I said, there's four of us that go, and three of us have fallen. One of us severely sprained their ankle, and none of those people were me. I've not fallen yet, so. I'm the oldest one of the bunch.
I wish I could find a pair.
Break every bone in your body.
Yeah, it's coming.
I wish I could find a pair of Hokas. the speed goats. What's funny is Meijer here, which is basically a regional, department store chain. In the women's department, they have Hoka speed goats. In the men's, they don't.
Yeah, I would like a pair of those. When I ran on the road, I ran in Hokas, but they weren't. I didn't have a pair that was good for trails, so that's why I got the Ultras.
Right.
But the Speed Goat hadn't come out yet, I don't think, when we started the trails. But.
Well, the Lone Peak 9s have come out, and I have 7s. So the 8s should start to come down in price. I might start seeing those up at Sierra. Although the last time I was there, I could only ever find one pair of Olympus Vias that I picked up. Road shoes, I'm good now. You know, I have plenty of road shoes, but definitely in the market for some trail shoes just because, you really need that. Any of the road shoes I have, the ultra road shoes I have, they're not going to do well on the trail at all.
But the Olympus are trail shoes.
No, the Vias are not. They're road shoes. They do have Olympuses with the Olympus 6, I think, has a trail shoe. Yeah, the Mount Black Boa, they have these wicked boa laces on the side. They're built in. There's no laces to tie. But on the Ultra website, they want $250. Or $210, I mean. And the only ones they seem to have in the men's is bright orange.
Mine are brown, and they're perfect for trail running. I mean, they're mud colored.
Yeah, check those out, Dave. Those are pretty interesting looking. I just like the fact that you can adjust them in two different places. And those are definitely trail shoes, technical trail running.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those look awesome. And they look beefy too on the treads. Now the lone peaks are typically what most people use them for are through hiking because they're real lightweight. But that boa fit system, I might have to just save up and buy those just because they look like they'd be a great trail shoe. Like I said, expensive as hell though. but the Lone Peaks they make ones with the boot section on them, and I might have to try those out. I don't know. The other thing I like about Ultras besides the Zero Drop is that they all have a nice roomy toe box.
That's the best thing about them. I have one too, and that's the best thing.
Yep. I mean, my feet were wide. I can wear normal D-width now. But now that I lost weight, for some reason, my feet just aren't as wide as they used to be. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll experiment with it. You know, I got lots of time to train and stuff. So if I find a shoe, it's not like, you know, if I find one, and I try a long distance and it kills my feet, I got time to go get another one. But I do know, I am going to take my trekking poles because I know I'll need those. The Indiana Trail has a mile section that scares the ever-living crap out of me right now. It's got a 30% grade down and 30% grade up. One right after the other. If I can get through that section, I should walk the rest of it. Easy. But I'm getting excited. I think I should be able to complete all three this year. Just cause I just feel stronger. I feel, you know, I'm to the point now where I get home after workout, I feel so good, which is just unlike it. You know, unless it's a push to fail kind of thing. You know, if I go to a workout and I push myself to fail on the weights or do the same thing on a trail, you know, I generally feel good when I do my normal workouts. Although I will admit to pre-gaming some Aleve.
Nothing wrong with that.
Remember we were talking fanny packs the other day, Joe? I got that cheap one. I got that cheap one.
A giant one for $20?
Yeah, it was like 25, I think it was.
Oh, cool.
Haven't worn it yet. It does actually have a harness that you can basically have it around the waist plus around your shoulders. I don't know if I'm going to do the around the shoulder thing, but so I'll try a training hike with it and see what I think about it. The Visny or outdoor fanny pack made in China, of course.
Order it now before the tariffs kick in.
I had it on back in December. I ordered it. I'm really, for my water bottles, I'm really liking Camelbacks. I don't mean the bladders. Yeah. I mean just they have a Camelback one that has the magnetic lid on it. Those I love. Cause they're great for my drink sticks. Yeah, it was $23 and I got the green one.
Cool.
So, I'll have to try it on a local trail here first, and I'll try it with and without the over the shoulder straps. I'm seriously considering it instead of my Osprey for the hikes. Although it's going to depend on weather too. If going into those hikes the weekend looks shitty, and I know I'm going to have to carry rain gear, maybe some extra socks, I might bring the Osprey. So the Osprey's not heavy. It's not heavy. It's just to be nice to not have to, you know, it's easier to put the fanny pack on than pull the bat, my day pack on. And cause every time I put the day pack on, it's got, you know, the sternum strap, this hookup and the hip belt, you know. It kind of the other, well, actually, technically, I could wear this with the Osprey if I wanted to. I could wear it in front. Just so that I have the pockets that are easier to get to than the hip belt pockets. The hip belt pockets on my Osprey don't want to open, or I can get them open, I should say, to pull something out of it. But when I want to zip it shut to keep, after I put it back in, or if I just want to zip it shut, it kind of bends when I'm pulling the zipper and puts a little kink in it, and then I can't get the zipper fully closed. So I've got ways around that. I think I'm developing a little 3D print thing to stick in there so that I can keep the zipper straight without bending in the middle, it will zip up fine. So, and it's just the design of it. It has nothing to do with a problem in manufacturing of the pack. It's just, that's the way it is.
We gotta wrap this show up.
Yeah, first time I heard you on there.
Well, I was on earlier. What's in your fanny pack, Dave?
some blue suppositories.
Blue chew suppositories.
Blue chews.
Keep the action going all night.
I don't need blue chews, but I do have those Super Beats chews.
All right, well,
Super Beats chews. But, yep.
I'm gonna play this out because I gotta
wrap it. In.
Wrap it up, Dave. Wrap it up.
Do it.
I am short.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making Ed Poo Young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the one I ordered. I put the link in the mumble chat. We'll see how it holds up during some training hikes. The thing I'm worried about is it doesn't feel quite as nice as my Osprey.
I have, yes.
If Dan starts to spin, it's like that. You don't know what's coming next.
I have peed in plenty of pools when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I never shit in a pool.
You know, the stupidest thing I ever did, right? Like,
I need a drum roll.
Biggest mistake I ever made. Like, I should have thought this out a little better, right? So we used to go camping in Indian River Inlet. It was just right outside of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. It's between Rehoboth Beach and Bethany Beach. I don't know if you're familiar. You're probably not familiar with that area. It's in Delaware. And it's like this awesome campground. It was when I was a kid. I loved it. But where the campground was on the inlet, and it was on the side closer. It was on the bay side, because there was a bridge that went over the inlet. So on the bay side was the campground, and then on the other side was the ocean. So the walk to the ocean was like at least a quarter mile, depending on where you were in the campground. And so there was a primitive side, which was like right up against the water. And then there was the electric side, which had like electrical hookup. And they had the standard campground bathroom. So there was like two on the primitive side and two on the electric side. And they were shower bathrooms and stuff, right? But if you go to the beach, there was a parking lot, and it had like a big – there was a public parking lot over there, and it had a big bathhouse. And so when you went to the beach, like from the campground, if you went to the beach, you were probably then again at the beach, like another quarter of a mile from the public bathhouse, and it had a snack bar and everything, right? So I'm out there swimming in the water. And I was all, you know, had to be like 11 or 12 at the time, because I was down there by myself. And I had to shit, right? And like, I'm like, okay. And I had to really go. So like, I get out and I start hot footing it to the public bathroom, and I made it about 2/3 of the way and shit my bathing suit. So I was like, oh, I should just shit in the water, man. Like when I was like, why not at that point? So I had to go in the bathroom and the shower, and I had to wash it all out and everything. And it was like, oh, it was terrible. It was terrible, Dave. The good old days. So yeah, like, what's interesting is on the primitive side, the men's bathroom showers had no curtains or anything. It was just like open stalls, and you go in and shower off. So you come walking out, and it's just like everybody standing around naked. And at one time, so there was a, so once you got past the campground, if you kept going down the road to the bay, there was a waste disposal area where you can clean out your camper septic tank or whatever that you had.
Is this where you got your idea for your outdoor shower? I'm just curious.
No. So, and if you kept going down, there was like a little community down there with a marina, and they have all like – people come in with all these cool catches, like you see marlins and mako sharks and hammerheads and stuff like that. Well, anyway, right next to the
the wastewater area, there was what I called the swamp, which went out to the back bay. And I used to go out there in the swamp and catch bait fish and for doing the fishing and stuff. And used to have tons of horseshoe crabs there. So again, I was out there and I had to take a shit, right? So I go hot footing it, and the only, like, the closest bathhouse was like a 5 minute walk at least. And it was on the electric side. So I go in, and this was the time. Oh yeah, that's right. They were trailers at this time. So the closest one was a trailer. So it didn't have showers. So there was two trailers. One was a men's, one was a woman. And I go in the trailer and all the men's stalls are used. Like there's people in there and I'm waiting and I can't, I'm like, I gotta go. So I get out and I'm standing by the woman's one and nobody's there. And I peek in, there's nobody there. And I go in and I'm sitting in there in the first stall and then people start coming in and I'm like, how the fuck am I going to get out of here without being seen? So I just waited and waited. And finally I was like, fuck it. And I just ran out and I don't think they saw me, but
how old were you?
Oh, that time I was probably like eight or nine. Like I was young, you know, I was young at that time. 32, Dave. What am I going to say? I'm going to lie to you, right?
I'll be right back. I left my phone in another room and it's going to ring, I'm sure. Hold on.
What's up, Joe?
Well, I'm on my phone right second because I'm cooking. But I'll be out in my garage in a minute.
What are you making?
I'm making burritos and chicken patties.
Cool.
Burritos and chicken patties.
Cool.
Two separate dishes.
Two separate meals, huh? Are you going to put the chicken patties on the burrito?
Hell no. That's my meal prep burritos.
Oh, so they're for not tonight?
That is correct. I will be waiting for it to cool off and then freezing it in bags of 300 grams each and heating them up when I want to eat them. And the chicken patties are for JoJo. I don't know how he's going to prep them.
Mm-mm-mm. Are they like breaded chicken patties?
Yeah.
What am I looking for here?
But other than that, I mean, I did set up Proxmox.
Well, we didn't start the show yet, so don't talk about that.
Oh, okay, well, I won't talk about that yet. All right. That'll give me an opportunity to go to the restroom before we get started. Preferably not crapping myself on the way.
Well, I hope not. It's not fun. Mm-mm. Wait, where'd Dave go?
I'm here.
Oh, Dave's there. All right. Okay. What episode is this, Dave?
1084.
Are you right?
Let me check. Yep.
You think I'd know because I was just doing this garbage a minute ago. Why isn't this? Oh, come on. All right. Yeah, 1084. All right. Joel's going to be late. When my wife gets home, I got to step out for a few minutes, help her with something. Can you guess what my wife is doing right now, Dave? You'll never guess.
Making ramen.
No. She's not home right now.
Oh, she's dungeon master for that middle school D&D thing.
No, that's me.
Well, I figured she might be filling in or something.
No, that's That's after school. That's the after school Satan Club, Dave.
I thought about that, like going to the office, saying, "I'm here for the after school Satan Club." I mean, D&D.
I had when I played D&D back in the '80s, we had me and my buddies. We had two entire churches full of women praying for us.
So before I...
That was the age of mazes and monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I tell you a little side story of that, did you want to guess what my wife is doing?
I already did. Are you talking to Joe?
So that's, you don't want to guess another chance?
It
starts with a D.
Starts with a D. I'm a drawing a blank. Downloading anime.
No, she's taking drum lessons.
Really?
Yeah, she's learning how to drum.
When did she start doing that?
This is her third lesson.
Wow, I want to do that. I've got drums and I'm self-taught, but I mean, there's so much I could learn. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I played drums today. But yeah, I would love to take drum lessons. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's rough getting that non-dominant hand to cooperate.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
Among other things. But
trying to get that going?
Yeah, it's not the easy. I mean, I've been playing drums for 6 years now. And okay. I mean, I'm intermediate at best. But like I said, I'm self-taught. So
that's cool.
I have fun, but I mean, I'm not going to play them in public.
So, well, you know, what... The way that it works up there is they do like they teach you drumming and techniques and stuff like that, and then after a little while they put you like in a little rock band.
Oh, that's cool.
So they put you, you know, and they form a little rock band so you can have like
awesome.
A little concert. Yeah. But anyway, the other thing I was going to say about D&D is one of my college roommate, his parents had a hobby shop, and he was playing D&D, so they started selling D&D stuff. It was like a trains, primary focus was trains. And then since a lot of their customers were religious people,
yeah,
they said that they would boycott if they didn't stop selling D&D, so they had to stop. One second.
Hello?
Wow.
Hi, babe.
What's up, punk?
Had a really good lesson.
I'm
actually feeling it a little bit more. Like, it went from, you know, I still am, like, incredibly new to it, but I can find the beat, I can find the grooves.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm actually tired as shit, but I'm actually really, I feel good. Like, it was good. I clearly grasped things I did not get before, so I'm proud of myself. All
right, I'll see you when you get home.
I'm 63, and people drive with me at night, so I'm going to get some
coming. All right, love you.
Oh, all right.
I heard everything.
Nice to have your wife on the show.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she doesn't have a drum kit at home, though, right?
Not yet. She has I got her a practice pad thing with the little thing. But so we were talking about that. She wants to get a drum kit, but we think, like, she might get an electronic drum kit.
Yeah, if you live in where I think you live, that would probably be best.
Yeah, she was talking about setting the drum up in the garage. I said, you could set it up in the basement. We can clear some space. And she's like, I don't want it to get wet. And that's where I work out. And I didn't want me to do it. And my computer stuff's down here. I didn't want to ruin the space and everything. I thought about doing it in the garage. And I'm like, yeah, but the garage is not like attached to the house. It's like over on the other side of the other houses. And
that would actually be appreciated. Keep that noise over there.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, it's right next to a whole row of homes. And so they would definitely hear.
That's a them problem, not a you problem.
Oh, yeah, that's a them problem. But we're friends with them, and we want to keep it that way, right?
But the good thing about electronic drums, I mean, I don't have any. I've got real drums, but is you don't have to tune them. That's the pain about real drums.
Ah. And they're also a little, you can make it a little
quieter. They're a
whole lot
quieter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so now that one of my daughters moved out, we're finishing her room so Lily can move in there, and then that frees up another room. And I said, why don't you just put the drums in there? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, we should start the show. It's 1084. Joe's got stuff to talk about. I've got stuff to talk about. I got a beef with the Chinese. So
the entire country or
a particular restaurant? Why not? No, not with the restaurant. I love the restaurant. All right, so here we go. Fire it away.